Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
This is the holy gospel of our Lord, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." In chapter 14 and verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, Father Ron Roberts, and I now am in Tuscaloosa, God's country, of course. I have to say that or they won't let me come back. Now, but I was here for like 6 years or so, and so it's great to come back and see all of my friends and all. Absolutely, yeah, that are here. David, would you pray for the word today? Amen. I'm still not sure that if I like you yet, Bishop, again. I told Bishop last night, because Debbie, one of my favorite people in the world, having went to Africa, she was so much fun. I saw her yesterday, and I was going, "Oh, man, I'm going to make her, like, give her a little testimony about the oil thing." And so Bishop, he hijacked that yesterday and all. And then I told him last night, I said, "You know, like, I hate you now because you hijacked that." And he said, "Well, tell this and tell that and all that." And so this morning, he told all of those stories. What else can I say? So I'm going to do something a little bit different, maybe, but... How many of y'all feel like you're kind of that odd guy out, the one that's marching to the different drummer, how things maybe don't click for you that seems to click for everybody else? Yeah, see, that's me, you know. I tried to get Bishop at one time to let me tie-dye an owl. So he told me I couldn't do that, that it would probably get him in trouble. Otherwise, I think he would have been okay with that. For those of y'all who do the daily readings, you notice that we did an extra reading for the daily reading today. We did the reading before the actual daily reading. It's because as I was looking at the daily reading this morning, as I was trying to go, "Lord, what do you want to say?" And that's how I do homilies and preach and stuff, is I spend most of my time saying, "God, what do you want to say?" And all, so that I don't say what I want to say. And then I don't have enough time to think of anything to say, so I've kind of got to rely on him to say something and all. But so I was looking, and so when I read this reading this morning, I just realized that an aspect of this reading I had never kind of thought or felt. And for me, I'm not like Father Mark. Now, Father Mark's like this academic guy, you know. Like, he reads more stuff in a day than I read in a year, I think. You know, I'm the opposite guy. I'm more on the experience of stuff. You know, like, you can tell me, you know, as a kid, I was told, if you hit your thumb with that hammer, it's going to really hurt. So I hit my thumb with a hammer, and it really hurt. I had to experience it. So I tend to react more out of an experience or a feeling or an emotion. And so when I read something in the scripture and it, that's what impacts me. I get excited about it. And so I got really excited about this because I had never thought about how Jesus felt. How did he feel in this gospel passage? We need to go back just a little bit. His cousin, the first human being in the womb that greeted him, recognizing him, even John in the womb, recognizing Jesus in the womb as the Savior of the world. He leaped, says, in his mother's womb. And then he was his cousin, and he baptized him. So they had a real relationship. And it says, now when Jesus heard about John, you go up and you read, what did he hear? He heard that John had been beheaded. His cousin, the only person that really had a real inkling who he was, or the possibility of who he was, his cousin that recognized him, that said those words, behold, the Lamb of God, that baptized him and saw the Holy Spirit descend. This man that he had this relationship, his friend, his cousin, had just been beheaded. And it says he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. So Jesus was fully man and fully God. So I think Jesus was maybe a little sorrowful, thinking about his cousin and experiencing human emotions that go with that. And he just wanted some time by himself. Now, I'm an introvert. When I need time by myself, you better let me get time by myself, or your experience would not be that much fun and all. But Jesus was wanting to go and find time by himself to be with his Father, to mourn, or whatever Jesus, fully man, Jesus, fully God, would do in those periods of time along with the Father about what had just happened. And it says that when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd. Now me, I'd have liked, see ya, you know. I'm going to go to a mountain or something. Y'all guys hang out here at the beach. I'll be back someday. That would have been me. What does Jesus do? He healed them because he's Jesus. That's just what Jesus does. See, Jesus does everything out of that of who he is, which is love, compassion, empathy. Even though in the moment of the greatest sorrow in his life, except maybe on the cross when he heard those words, you know, Father, feeling the sin. But in that moment, Jesus reached out and began to heal all the people that were there. And if you've ever been to to Africa or Brazil or any of the kind of second to third world countries and places, when God's doing stuff, they get really insistent about stuff and they press in. Like in Africa, they just press into you. They press into if you're in a tent or where you're at, because they're desperate. And so this is what Jesus was experiencing. And then the reason I had Bracken read the scripture before about him sending out the disciples. Now I want you to remember, these guys had just been missioned. They had just been sent out. And in one of the Gospels it says they come back rejoicing at all the miracles that they had seen. And so now we're here in this situation. These guys are pretty tore up about John's death. They're probably afraid. They've been rowing a boat all night, tired, hungry, probably a little wet. They don't want to fool with these people either. And then Jesus just starts healing them, spends all day there, and then it's getting evening, and so what did they do? What did the disciples do? This says the disciples came to him and said, you know, send these people away, get rid of them. Like, you know, in my words, if I'd have been doing it, I'd have said, I'm tired of fooling with these people. You know, like, we were supposed to be alone. Send them away. And Jesus, his reply to them, and that's why I had the other read, is what did he say? They told him, he said, well, you know, they don't have any food, they need to go. And Jesus says, They don't need to go away. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And so in the midst of all of that that goes on previous, John's death, Jesus and them trying to find some time alone to recover, to get some rest or whatever, then they're confronted and they've done all this stuff before. And then Jesus says, you feed them. Well, see, that's me. I'm not the me that says you feed them. I'm the me that says send you guys away. Because I get tired. I get lonely. I know my inadequacies, you know. I mean, you know, before I'd send you away, I'd count my money and go, I got $2 today. I can't feed that many people. And I forget. I forget all of our wonderful stories that we have from Africa of seeing miraculous healings and thousands and hundreds of people being healed. And, you know, like a short story out of Brazil, and I'm not going into any detail to it, but one night Bishop was calling out words of knowledge for people to be healed, and people would come up for a member. Shoulders and knees being one of the things, and the two young ladies that was praying with me, that they were supposed to be my interpreters, and I figured out they were better at praying than I was, so I just got out of their way and just encouraged them to do it. Everybody they prayed for was healed. Now, Brazil is a very educated country in certain socioeconomic groups, and we was in that upper group of very educated people. And so we got great feedback. In Africa, you go, well, how do you feel? Do you feel like you're healed? Yeah. And the Maasai are even worse, as Bishop talked about. In Brazil, they would speak and talk, and you could get better feedback. And I realized that that was what was happening that night. And so at a point where we need to take a break, and which one of the other things is every time they laid hands on somebody, they hit the floor. We had people, Dan and them can tell you this, we had so many people on the floor, it was like you'd just lay them out, and then we'd back up and lay out another group, and then lay out another group. Finally, we'd be on next to the stairs and start over again. But people were just being healed miraculously. Now, you would think that I'd get that. You know, I was sent out, and I saw God do miracles. I've seen God do so many miracles in Africa. I've seen God doing miracles in Tuscaloosa since I've been there. But there's a song, and I wish I was more of a musician. I should have got with Luke that says, I'm prone to wander. You know that song, that old hymn song? Well, I'm prone to forget and wander all at the same time. And forget that it's not about me. It's about him. The only thing about me is my availability to him. Bishop preached a sermon, and I believe it was Deacon Steve McCary, and he said during the course of his ordination that it had been quite a ride. Bishop, and I don't know if you remember that. And that has stuck with me that I'm just along for a ride, just along for the ride. And how many, I think in terms, because this is how this struggle, how many times have I said, send them away? How many times have I turned my back on the waitress that's waiting on me? When I get that little sense, you know, you can say, well, it was pretty obvious she was going through something. She looked so sad and she was grumpy, you know. And she, like, kind of almost threw the food on the table. How many times have I sent her away is the question. It is so much fun to pray for waitresses. That's mostly who I pray for now, is waitresses. Because it makes me get really quick. We live really short. See, when I go out, like, with Mark and Stacy or Deborah and Dan and others, and they pray for people for, like, ever. You know, like one person. I'm Bishop's over here yelling at everybody going, you got to pray for more than one person. Because they keep praying all these prayers. Oh, and they're going like, you know, like, okay, I know, like, we talk about pray for them three times. Not 30. Come on. I'm not that guy. You know, because I am so aware of my inadequacies in that area. So I just pray, you know. Like in Africa, when we've got those hundreds pressing in and stuff, I think Debbie can probably testify a bit that my prayers was like 10 times shorter than hers because I just go, God, heal them. Are you through yet? You know, because I figure it doesn't matter how much I say, he's doing it. Right? So it's great for us to remember the works of God. That's why we have this here. It's for us to know the goodness and the greatness and the wonderfulness and the grace and mercy of God and how unbelievable it is. and to remember that so that we don't forget and want to send them away in our own little ways of just going out quickly and stuff, and not spending just a moment. But I've learned to really love praying for the waitresses and stuff, because it keeps me so short, because you only have a few moments with them, because they're working, and so you can't pray for them three times. You know, you just get really grateful that you got once in there with them. And it's just, I don't know, I find that refreshingly fun to do. So in saying that, what I'm saying is, like, y'all guys are learning so much. Don't get overwhelmed with it. Don't get intimidated with it. Don't feel like, well, I don't know the formula for praying for people three times. Well, just know the one. Like Bishop said just earlier, just pray the formula of one. One prayer. That works wonders. And don't let, because I have found that sometimes in my greatest moments of self-pity, even self-loathing, is when the power of God is absolutely the strongest and absolutely does the greatest works. Maybe not so much in me at the moment, because I'm hard-headed and it takes a while, but in someone else. Because it's to remind me, it's not about me. You know, I'm just along to just for the ride. And Bishop has taught me very well, Bishop, that the first sacrament for us now is fun. And that's the greatest sacrament. It's fun. It's to have fun. Christianity is fun, guys. It's fun when you're watching Jesus do really fun stuff. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.